أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to another show of Between the Lines with myself, Nasiha Smar. And today we're discussing something that's happening in America, or in the United States of America. We're discussing the dear President Donald Trump's zero tolerance policy. And we're also going to be fortunate enough to listen to a clip by Sheikh Omar Suleiman, which was recorded at a rally in America. And also we're going to be listening to some of the voices of the children at this U.S.-Mexico border. So during the month of June, decent people in the United States and around the world were aghast at the sight and sound of immigrant children being violently snatched away from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border and sent to detention camps, locked in cages, and left to cry for their parents in despair. United States President Donald Trump, his Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristen Nielsen, and his senior advisor, Stephen Miller, went on to record defending this practice. The spiteful barbarity of these actions had an archaic ring to it. Most Americans had thought such atrocities were left behind in the darkest ages of forgotten histories. Trump, the crowning achievement of American democracy, elected to the highest political office of the land in a free and fair election, and his gang of heartless henchmen and women brought those dark ages back to light. People, millions of Americans in particular, were mortified. Soon after Trump ordered the separation of immigrant children from their parents, conscientious observers began exposing the longer roots of such racist cultures, reminding shocked Americans how similar crimes had been committed against other vulnerable people in the United States in recent and not so recent history. Trump, we learn from these accounts, is not the first white man in a position of unfettered power and vicious cruelty, snatching children from their parents in America and putting them in cages to cry for their freedom. The origins of such crime is much deeper and far more horrific. Separating migrant families is barbaric. It's also what the United States has been doing to people of color for hundreds of years. What's happening right now in America is without question a human rights catastrophe. Yet every deeply entrenched mechanism used in these policies and the spirit fueling this catastrophe are as American as Facebook or Disneyland. The key phrase here is the spirit fueling this catastrophe. Where and when did this spirit descend upon America? This has happened here, happened in America before. In fact, it has happened millions of times across the years in the country. Africans forced into slavery in America were routinely separated from their children, not only in being transported to the Americas, but then repeatedly on the auction block. Not thousands, but millions of mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, were all forcefully separated from each other. And this was no brief period of America's history, but a feature of the institution of slavery that existed in the United States for nearly 250 years. But the history of such barbaric acts by European settler colonialists on this continent goes back further back than 250 years, and the longevity of that history has an even more terrifying lesson to teach us. From the long and sustained history of slavery to the internment of the Americans of Japanese during World War II, upon which the Supreme Court had put its stamp of approval, targeting innocent children as the primary victims of white supremacist cruelty, has been a common staple of the United States politics. You may think that those bygone years are to be buried in the past, that at the time of such European slaughter of the Native of Americans, the U.S. did not even exist, that history cannot be read backwards. But the sword and the gun of the earliest massacres were then handed down to the generations of the United States Army that continued with the slaughter of Native Americans, men, women, and children, a place as worst exemplified in the infamous Wounded Knee Massacre of 1890, in which hundreds of Lakota people, men, women, and children, were slaughtered by the United States Army. All those acts of physical extermination eventually led to barbaric theories and acts of cultural genocide perpetrated by the self-same racist ideology for generations to come. So almost 2,000 children have been separated from their parents or legal guardians at the U.S.-Mexico border since a highly criticized zero-tolerance immigration policy came into place, according to United States officials. A Department of Homeland Security spokesman told reporters on Friday that 1,995 minors were separated from the 1,940 adults who crossed the U.S. border without documents between April 19th and May 31st. The adults were held in preparation of prosecution for undocumented entry into the United States, immigration violations, or possibly criminal conduct. All cases of undocumented entry are being referred for criminal prosecution under the zero-tolerance policy announced by Attorney General Jeff Sessions in May. The separations are a consequence of this prosecution, as minors cannot be held without their parents or legal guardians. The policy has come under fire from politicians, immigration advocates, and human rights groups. Earlier this month, thousands of people rallied in cities across the United States, calling on United States President Donald Trump to reverse this policy. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights last week said the practice amounts to arbitrary and unlawful interference in family life and is a serious violation of the rights of a child. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi called the policy shameful and said that there's no policy justification to it. Reacting to the separation of nearly 2,000 children from their families, Californian Senator also urged the Trump administration to end this immoral policy. So we're now going to cross over to a voice recording, which is of Sheikh Omar Suleiman, and he is speaking at a rally. And then we're also going to be listening to the voice of these children. And this was recorded by Vox Media.
I can't sing a song, so I'm not going to sing. So I'm going to need you guys to get back into rally mode after the beautiful words that you have just heard. Early last year, a white supremacist terrorist walked into a mosque in Quebec and murdered six fathers. When he was asked why he chose to go to that mosque that night in Quebec and murder six fathers, he said it was because when Trump issued the Muslim ban, and he heard that Canada would be taking in the Muslims that Donald Trump would not, he wanted to make sure that Muslims didn't feel welcome in Canada either. And I want you to recognize the irony of the fact that on that night, in the name of Donald Trump's Muslim ban, more people were killed than all of those collectively killed by Syrian refugees in the United States of America. And so let's not pretend like there is any factual information behind the fear-driven agenda of this president that targets the Muslim community and specifically the refugee community and the immigrant community and specifically the immigrant community from the Latino community with the same tools and tactics of dehumanization in order to bring about the worst in our country so that we don't live up to our ideals. The other day, the president hosted a summit for victims of illegal aliens. And we asked if we will have a summit for Claudia Gonzalez, who was shot in the head by a Border Patrol agent, for Anton Rose. Will we have a summit for Anton Rose and Jordan Edwards, teenagers whose lives were taken by uniformed officers? What about the 150 Syrian children who were bombed while studying in school last year by our government? And so we separate children from families all the time. We separate them with drones, we separate them with bullets, we separate them with slave-holding prison systems and detention centers, all in the name of national security. This is not about national security, this is about racial purity. And if this president cared about national security, he would host a summit for the victims of Parkland, for the victims of Las Vegas, for the victims in Baltimore who belonged to the press, whom he has declared an enemy. But in all of those cases, the profile of the terrorist doesn't fit what Donald Trump is looking for. And James Baldwin said that ignorance allied with power is the most ferocious enemy of justice. Donald Trump is a ferocious enemy of justice. And so when they use these alternate facts and they say we need to protect our borders, we can't have people coming into this country and bringing all of their diseases and problems. Well, let's start with what we've done south of the border. Let's start with us unseating and overthrowing democratically elected governments since the 1950s south of the border. Let's start with our food and fruit corporations, taking advantage of the impoverished nation of Honduras from the 20th century. Let's start with homegrown American gangs that we deported to places like El Salvador. And so I want to end with this, because I want you to push back on these so-called facts. When they say we don't want them bringing crime here, we've taken crime to them for hundreds of years. We have no right to turn them away then and say they are not worthy of this nation. Dear brothers and sisters, Donald Trump said we don't want refugees or immigrants coming from countries that he called, and I quote, shitholes. And we say that it's about time that America stops defecating on the rest of the world. And I want to end with a message of unity. I was in McAllen, Texas just a few days ago. I saw those children behind glasses being transported between warehouses that were made for glass and tires. I saw what's taking place with my own two eyes right down there at the border. And I want you to recognize that just as those children were separated from their families, they are being separated from the human family. And we have to resist that and say that we are one human family across races, religions, countries, borders. We are one human family. Keep our human family together. Stop letting them isolate us from one another. We resist this bigotry and this fascism together. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
What you're listening to are the sounds that have been missing from the policy debate around immigration, from the ones with the most at stake, children who've been forcibly separated from their parents.
It's a recording that was made from inside of a Border Patrol facility of children who have been separated recently from their parents after having crossed the border without documents into the United States.
That's Ginger Thompson, the ProPublica reporter who obtained this secretly recorded clip from a Texas civil rights attorney.
Bueno, aquí tenemos una orquesta.
They were between the ages of 4 and 10. All of the children on this recording are from Central American countries.
Guatemala.
there's a six-year-old Salvadoran girl on the clip. Her name is Allison Jimena Valencia Madrid. She was just finishing kindergarten back in El Salvador. Her mother decided to flee gang violence. She has family in the United States. In this tape, she is distraught and asks authorities to let her make a phone call. And she wants to call her aunt.
There are around 2,300 kids who have been separated from their parents since what's known as the zero tolerance policy was started by the administration in April.
The zero tolerance policy calls for all people who illegally cross the border, even if they're crossing for the first time, to be criminally prosecuted, and that their children, or any children that they brought with them, will be separated during that time. They're being held initially in these Border Patrol facilities, but then they move into facilities that are controlled by Health and Human Services.
The United States will not be a migrant camp.
We do not have the luxury of pretending that all individuals coming to this country as a family unit are in fact a family. This administration has a simple message. If you cross the border illegally, we will prosecute you.
The backlash to this policy has been swift and sharp. People with very diverse political views on every other thing seem to have come together to condemn this policy.
I don't think we should obey a law that goes against what God intends. He would take a baby, a child.
It's terrible to see families ripped apart, and I don't support that one bit.
We do have to find the middle ground of somehow, you know, honoring the law of the land, but showing mercy to the immigrants.
The administration has sort of been struggling to respond.
I would say, due to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government.
It is very biblical to enforce the law. That is actually repeated a number of times throughout the Bible.
Have you heard the audio clips of these children wailing that just came out today?
I have not seen something that came out today, but I have been to detention centers. And again, I would reference you to our standards.
The image of this country that you want out there, children?
The image that I want of this country is an immigration system that secures our borders and upholds our humanitarian ideals. Congress needs to fix it.
We're not the ones responsible for creating this problem. We've inherited it, but we're actually the first administration stepping up and trying to fix it.
The Trump administration blames the previous administration for this policy, but the Obama administration did conduct a record number of deportations, but that administration did not prosecute people criminally for crossing the border for the first time, nor did it separate children from their parents at the time of the crossing.
Facing the backlash, the administration opened up tightly controlled tours of the facilities. This is handout footage from the government. Cameras are tightly restricted for journalists, and the children being detained are not allowed to speak to them.
They can be sort of sanitized, very sterile experiences that show you what the shelter looks like, but when it comes to children, gives you very little sense of what impact being there has on them.
For now, this clip is the closest we've gotten to hearing from the children.
The Salvadoran girl who asked for the phone call with her aunt actually got that phone call. I dialed that number as well and was able to speak to the aunt. You know, the aunt was devastated by this phone call and said to me, you know, can you imagine getting a phone call from your six-year-old niece who was screaming into the phone and saying, you know, please, auntie, please, I'll behave myself. Just come get me out of here because I'm alone.
Hello, Papa. Fordsburg Meat, your family butcher. We do free deliveries to surrounding areas and a once-a-week delivery to Lanesia, Benoni, and Pretoria. Fordsburg Meat brings you these weekly specials ending this coming Monday. A-grade lamb, 105 rand per kilo. Farm fresh, skinless chicken, 39.95 per kilo. T-bone steak, 99.95 per kilo. Beef mince, 75.99 per kilo. And more indoor specials. Come visit Fordsburg Meat at 1723 Albertino Sisulu Street, Fordsburg, and call 011-838-4536.
Once again, Maulana Timol will be taking a trip abroad for Kurbani. Many people in the villages live well below the poverty line and only eat meat on the days of Eid al-Adha. Support this cause at 1,540 rand for 7 shares or 220 rand per share. Contact Maulana Timol, Maulana Sajjad, Maulana Hamad or Maulana Abbad on 011-852-6324 or 8584 or 8538 or 072-299-9268. All slaughtering will be supervised by a team of foreign and local ulama. Visit www.operationkurbani.org.za.
Sedges, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look at our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedges, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Al Tawhid Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously to its various projects, namely GDE-affiliated schools, computer classes, sewing classes, woodworking classes, nurseries, masajid, madrasas, and dawah programs for underprivileged communities. We accept zakat, lilla, sedekah, and all other donations. Please note, we issue Section 18A certificates. Visit us at Shop L31 in Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Extension 5, Lanesia. Call Al Tawhid Islamic Center on 011-211-6009.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Between the Lines will help you dig deep into the conflicts of the world, discussing topics that may not affect your life directly, to encourage learning, gaining knowledge, and being grateful for the lives we live. Your host, Nasir Sumar, will ask you to question the life you live and remind you to be thankful for your bounties in your life.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Between the Lines with myself, Nasiha Smar. So that was a very inspiring video by Sheikh Omar Suleiman, which definitely brought to light the actions of the United States, and then something that was very heartbreaking, actually listening to the children. And something in that video struck a chord with me, because I remember when we met Jana Jihad, she said when she was 3 years old, her mother tried to send her down a human ladder and to actually save her. But her response to her mother was, you know, I'll be good, I'll behave. And this little Salvadorian girl had the exact same response. So what does this actually do to the children? And what does this actually do to the mental and psyche of these children? So on Thursday, Jeff Sessions cited Christian scriptures to justify detaining children separately from their fathers, and said that consistent, fair application of law in itself is a good and moral thing, and it protects the weak. A day later, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders drew further anger and ridicule from many online after seemingly invoking the Bible to justify the Trump administration policy. And this is funny. This is funny because as Muslims and in the Muslim world, we know that the United States has used the religion of Islam to scapegoat intolerance and oppression. And here, just to justify their own, there is now scapegoating the Bible and Christianity. Shortly after taking office, Trump signed an executive order expanding the powers of the Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE, agency to focus on detaining most undocumented immigrants, including those with no criminal records. The number of interior removals or deportations of those already in the United States grew by 37% during Trump's first year in office when compared with the same period in 2016, according to government data. Sessions has also recently come under fire for issuing a ruling that may make it nearly impossible for domestic abuse and gang violence seekers to seek asylum in the United States. Trump's policies are throwing whole communities into distress and warping the daily lives of unauthorized immigrants, legal immigrants, and United States citizens and children alike. It is deeply appalling what you see happening right now in the United States. Immigrant children are being snatched away from their parents and sent to separate detention centers, often locked into cages with strangers with no real idea of when they'll be reunited with their families. It is truly an abomination. But you often see two troubling responses to this crisis that just shows how aloof and asleep millions of Americans are right now. The first statement goes something like this: "This is not the America that I know and love." And the second question is, rooted in the very same ignorance, that goes something like this: "How could this ever happen in the United States?" What's happening right now in America is without question a human rights catastrophe. However, five troubling factors are at play here. All five were fully and completely present before this current crisis ever began. They set the tone and created the culture in which something so heinous could ever take place. This has happened in America before, and it has happened millions of times across the years. Africans were forced into slavery in this very country and were routinely separated from their children. They not only were enslaved African children routinely separated from their families, but so too were Native Americans in America. From the late 1800s all the way until the 1970s, children were routinely taken away from Native American homes by force and sent to barbaric Indian schools, where their hair was cut and their names and culture was stripped away. Many of them never saw their families again. What might be the most shocking, though, is that the way the United States today, in the present, separates so many families where stories go unmarked upon. The crisis of mass incarceration in America, of which the crackdown on immigrants is just one horrific piece. As you read this, as you listen to this, hundreds of thousands of adults and children, disproportionately black and Latino, are in jails all over America. Not because they have been convicted of a crime, but because they cannot afford cash bail. Many of them will languish in jail, not for days or weeks, but for months and years without ever being convicted. In fact, about 65% of people in local American jails on any given day have not been convicted of any crime. They are in jail simply because they cannot afford bail. They too are separated from their families. You would have a hard time looking through history and finding an extended period of American history where children and parents of color weren't forcefully separated from one another by the white power structure in America. It's woefully and painfully normal. And it's because it's so normal that it is so easy for it to happen again and again in America. The Americans have mastered separated parents and children, pretending otherwise is to offer a very, very blind look at history. It should come as no surprise, then, that so many on the right, those who would bristle at acknowledging, let apologizing for this history, are embracing a policy of forced family separation. On a Monday night, Fox News' Laura Ingraham said with a smug smile that the immigrant children being held in detention centers are essentially in summer camp.
This is in spite of the reality that the leading doctors and medical groups across America have said that the forcefully separating children from their parents in detention centers causes irreplaceable harm to the children. This is in spite of the gut-wrenching audios obtained by the one that we listen to of detained children sobbing and wailing for their parents while they are mocked by guards. Nearly 60% of all republics approve of this practice of separating immigrant children from their parents at the border. And it's not hard to understand why. At the root of the current human rights crisis at American borders is white supremacy and bigotry. For years now, Donald Trump has dehumanized border-crossing Latinos every chance he gets, routinely calling them animals, murderers, and rapists. He reduced entire nations of colors to being, and I quote, shithole countries. On Monday, he reiterated saying immigrants were coming from the most dangerous places in the world. This essential step of reducing immigrants to subhuman status must not be overlooked. It happened through the transatlantic slave trade. It happened through the genocide of Native Americans. And it happened through the Holocaust. It's happening in Palestine, it's happening in Syria, and it happened throughout the Rwandan genocide. It happens today with the victims of police brutality in America and across the world. Whenever a group of people suffers unspeakable horrors and oppression, the people in power first reduce and dehumanize them, making it such that the conscience of the people in power is fully at ease during the oppressions. This is how Laura Ingraham could compare the detention centers to summer camps. She has convinced herself that the United States is doing these subhuman children a favor. And I'd like to draw a bit of an analogy. And we see this happening in Europe, we see this happening in America, we see this happening in Australia, where Islamophobia has become such a rife thing in the Western societies that politicians who believe that Muslim women who wear the hijab are actually being doing a favor by them putting a ban on us being able to wear hijab, because they see our religion as oppressive. And this is how they convince themselves that our religion is oppressive. At the root of the current human rights crisis at American borders is this problem. Trump does not have a problem with immigrants. His mother was an immigrant from Scotland. His grandparents were all immigrants. His first wife, Ivana Trump, was an immigrant from what is known as now Czech Republic. Trump's children with her, Donald Jr., Ivanka, and Eric, have an immigrant parent. Trump's third wife, Melania, who is the First Lady of the United States, is an immigrant from Slovenia. She became a citizen in only 2006. Her son, with Donald Trump, Barron, has an immigrant parent. So no, Trump doesn't hate immigrants, but he does seem to hate immigrants of color, and this distinction is essential. Melania's Trumps are beneficiaries of what Trump and the right call chain migration. They are in the United States legally because of their relationship to her. Trump and conservatives rail against this policy, but his parents and grandparents and in-laws all benefited from this policy. If the right wing hated immigrants, Trump would probably be among the least liked public figures in the state of America. But many of those on the right, like everyone but the Native Americans, are all descendants of immigrants themselves. Their problem is not with immigrants, it's with immigrants of color, be they from Mexico or the Americas or any of the nations listed in Trump's Muslim ban. White supremacy and bigotry drive so many of Americans' policies. Trump's senior policy advisor, Stephen Miller, has shown bigot tendencies since high school. And now he's said to be the chief author of both the Muslim ban and the new policy of separating immigrant children from their parents. We are now living in the age where hate crimes are on the rise in the United States and the world. where white supremacists are running for office in record numbers. It was only a matter of time until people seeking asylum at America's borders were also criminalized and warehoused. It's what America does. Instead of solving our most difficult problems, we increase police forces, build more jails and prisons, and arrest people, especially people of color. And this is not America's problem. This is the world's problem. What's happening right now in America is awful, period. No ifs and no buts. It didn't come out of nowhere, though. It came right from the American playbook. America, as a nation, has routinely mistreated and abused people of color for hundreds of years, and has willfully separated millions of families, sometimes permanently, for sport and profit, but all on American soil. And this is appeal to people all over the world. It is our time to speak out against it and organize against it. So, inshallah, that is all that we have for today. And we're going to be crossing over to Sister Zinaida, who has a book review for us this afternoon. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Have you been to the palace?
Palace?
Fashion palace. They have glamorous evening wear and funky sportswear.
Oh, and let's not forget comfy sleepwear.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Let's go to Fashion Palace.
Visit Fashion Palace, Shop 101 Grand Place in Asia, next to Homemade Delights, or call 011-854-5091.
It's Pick and Pay's Get Down Birthday with incredible weekly deals, like PNP Whole Frozen Yellowtail for only R39.90. Save R40 per kilo. 4 kg of Supreme Chicken Frozen Mixed Portions with brine-based mixture for only R115. 7 kg of no-name potatoes for only R35. Save R15. Or 2 kg of Speco Long Grain Parboiled Rice for only R15. Save R5. Plus you could win your shopping free. One person, every store, every day. Minimum spend R50. Only at Pick and Pay. Valid until 22nd July. T's and C's apply. While stocks last.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match, but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
Assalamu alaikum. Yusuf bhai.
Walikum salam Musa bhai.
Yusuf bhai, I was kurbani nu hu karwana. Bakra lawana ke hu.
Are bhai, I'm making one kurbani at home to keep the spirit of kurbani alive. And the balance of the kurbani I'm sending to Crescent of Hope. They make kurbani to all the needy, locally or internationally.
Are Yusuf bhai, mashallah, boharu bhai, boharu. Where can I find this Crescent of Hope?
Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah. 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesia. 011-852-7370.
It's Pick and Pay's Get Down Birthday with incredible weekly deals, like PNP Whole Frozen Yellowtail for only R39.90. Save R40 per kilo. 4 kg of Supreme Chicken Frozen Mixed Portions with brine-based mixture for only R115. 7 kg of no-name potatoes for only R35. Save R15. Or 2 kg of Speco Long Grain Parboiled Rice for only R15. Save R5. Plus, you could win your shopping free. One person, every store, every day. Minimum spend R50. Only at Pick and Pay. Valid until 22nd July. T's and C's apply. While stocks last.
Fashion Palace invites you to their massive winter clearance sale. Starts Friday, 6th July. Take advantage of our low, low prices. We're clearing out on all menswear at ridiculously low prices. So don't miss out. Ladies' tights, R80. Kiddies' tights, R40. Jackets from R200. And pants from R150. Selected evening dresses marked down. Too low to mention. So remember, make a date with Fashion Palace this weekend and save. Fashion Palace, bringing you high-end fashion at low prices.
Radio Islam International, medium wave 1548.
هجنا يا جوالة نور والله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is with great excitement that I am on the airwaves of Radio Islam International today. Alhamdulillah. Excuse the frog in my throat. So as I was saying, it is with great excitement that I am on the airwaves of Radio Islam International today, alhamdulillah, as I share a vast treasure of knowledge with you in the form of books. So welcome to the Goodreads program with myself, Zunaida Musa Wadiwala, on this beautiful Jumu'ah afternoon. And remember that I have prepared this program with you in mind. Now, the benefits and beauties of reading can never be emphasized enough. And when I go through today's book, you will see just what I mean. To recap, last Friday, I reviewed the English translation and commentary of Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi's Al-Aqidatu al-Tahawiyyah. For today, I will discuss the good read and then keep you excited and invigorated with the Zoonspirations slot. So, every now and then, I come across a book that is life-changing. And I say this because it adds a whole new dimension in your life. And this is what happened to me when I read Bustan al-Muhaddithin. It shed light on a new perspective, an additional way of looking at things, a stirring of my heartstrings, and an overwhelming sense of gratitude that I have been blessed to share in this knowledge. And so, it is my great honor and pleasure to introduce you to Bustan al-Muhaddithin, the Garden of the Hadith Scholars. And really, the title is so apt because I enjoyed this book as though I was passing through an immaculate, weedless, and a pristine garden. This extraordinary book was originally written in Persian in the early 19th century by Imam Abdul Aziz al-Dihlawi, who was the son of Shah Waliullah al-Dihlawi. And I say, actually it is truly a masterful account of the major hadith collectors' collections and their authors. But after the decline of the Persian language, the original book was translated from Persian to Arabic by Dr. Muhammad Akram al-Nadwi, who also then added extremely useful footnotes. The Arabic edition also includes a short history of the hadith and the sciences of hadith, a bit on the life of Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddith Dihlawi and his contribution to the science of hadith. It also has indices of Quranic verses and hadith cited, and it includes individuals of whom their biographical sketches are provided in the main text or in the notes. The Arabic edition was published by Dar al-Gharb al-Islami in Beirut in the year 1423 Hijri, and alhamdulillah, it was very well received. But the publishers wanted to reach a wider readership than the Arabic, and so they approached the well-known translator Aisha Bewley, who then translated this book from Arabic into English in the year 1428 Hijri, which corresponded to the year 2007. The book, published in Bushra Prints by Turaf Publishing in London, consists of 358 pages. It is available for purchase in South Africa from the Darul Ihsan bookshop. Now, we all know and understand that our Sharia is made up of two sources, which are the generous Quran and the noble prophetic hadith. Our Islamic fiqh is based on them, and we rely on these sources in our personal, social, and political affairs. I think that is why a book of this nature is very important, and in fact it is imperative that we pay great attention to it. What I found really attractive about this book is its simplicity and its relative ease of reading. Yes, indeed, without a doubt, it is an invaluable companion to a student of hadith, but I think it should also form part of the layperson's library. And I think this is because I feel so strongly about its content. And I say to you that the onus lies on you to learn. Now, not necessarily to study in great detail, but to learn enough to have an overview of the field of hadith. And for this purpose, this book definitely does just that. But before I get into the discussion of the book, though, I would like to summarize briefly for you the history or the development in hadith writing. Because a knowledge of this will give you a greater appreciation and understanding of this book. So when it came to hadith writing and compilation, there was an initial prohibition and then a concession. Some hadith were written during the lifetime of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahifa literature followed, which were personal notebooks compiled by some of the Sahaba and Tabi'un. The first to have a comprehensive hadith collection without any specific arrangement was Ibn Shihab. And then there was the Musnad works, which were arranged according to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and all were marfu. And then we have Al-Kutub al-Sitta, which comprises of Bukhari and Muslim, known as the two Sahihain, and the four other Sunan works. And these kitabs are all arranged according to legal topics. After the preface and the notes then, the book opens with a biography of the author, Ad-Dihlawi, discussing his birth, his quest of knowledge, and some of his students and books are also made mention of. The book then begins, and I can summarize these contents as follows. The book discusses the books written on the sciences of a hadith, as well as a biography of the authors. I think you will get a better understanding of what I mean as I go through some of the content with you. So the first part of the book is titled Books of the Four Imams, and it discusses firstly the Muwatta of Imam Malik, secondly the Musnad of Imam Abu Hanifa, thirdly the Musnad of Imam al-Shafi'i, and fourthly the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Lineage and other biographical details form some of the content. Interesting stories and aspects are even brought to the fore, which I really loved reading about. For example, we learned that Imam Malik had such love and respect for Medina to Munawwara that he never rode in Medina. He said, "I am ashamed before Allah to tread with the foot of an animal on the land in which lies the grave of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of Allah." The book proceeds into its second part, which is titled The Six Primary Sources. Under this heading, the following are discussed. Firstly, Al-Jami' al-Sahih by Al-Bukhari, Al-Jami' al-Sahih by Imam Muslim, secondly. Thirdly, the Sunan of Abu Dawud. Fourthly, Al-Jami' al-Sahih by Al-Tirmidhi. Fifthly, Al-Sunan al-Sughra by Al-Nasa'i. And sixthly, the Sunan of Ibn Majah. A fascinating account of biography of these amazing men, from which I have learned so much. And I can recommend that if there's anyone's history you should spend time reading about, then please start with these. The third part of the book is called Sahih Collections, which is essentially famous collectors and their brief biographies. Short extracts actually in length, but very powerful and quite a lot in meaning and purpose. The Musannaf, Sunan and Ahkam collections form the fourth part of the book. Now, just to explain to you, a Musannaf is a collection of hadith which is arranged according to legal topics. It includes prophetic narrations, statements from the Sahaba, statements from the Tabi'un, etc. The book continues into its fifth part called Musnad Collections. And to explain to you once again, a Musnad is an arrangement of hadith according to the name of the Sahabi, and it comprises exclusively of prophetic narrations. We continue then, the sixth part of the book is called Mu'jam Collections, and these are collections arranged according to the Sheikh. The book then proceeds into part 7 called Virtues and Good Manners. Amongst others, it includes Kitab al-Suhud wal-Riqaq by Abdullah ibn Mubarak and Kitab al-Adab wal-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari. The ninth part of the book is called Juz Collections. And to explain what I mean here, in essence, hadith scholars use juz to designate a book of hadith related from one of the companions or someone after them. And then we go on to one of my favorite parts of the book, which is the 10th part, and it is called Arba'un Collections. And then the Musalsalat Collections form part 11. Part 12 is called History and Biographies, and part 13, the final part, ends with commentaries. It sounds like a lot, but actually it's quite an easy read, and it's definitely very beneficial. And that takes us right into the Zoomspiration slot, which is based on the book 30 Ways to Attain Happiness by Muhammad bin Abdullah al-Shahi. And today we discuss the ayat, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل سيروا في الأرض, which translates as, say, travel in the land. And the author tells us that from what gladdens the heart and removes the cloud of worry and sorrow is traveling to the land, journey, expedition from one place to another on the wide earth, looking at the scrolls of existence to see the pens of power as they write beautiful signs on the pages of existence, so that you may see delightful and elegant gardens, go out of your home and ponder about what surrounds you, that which is before you and what is behind you. Climb over the mountains, go down the valleys, view the trees, drink from the pure water, catch the scent of the jasmine, and you will find your spirit free and unhindered, like the bird that wakes you up in the space of happiness. Of course, reading this, I couldn't help but think of the Hujjaj, many of whom have already departed on the most spiritual journey of their lives. With that, of course, we have run out of time, so I cannot resist just to say that reading actually is a form of travel. Please direct your comments and queries to my Instagram page at zuneida.mw and join me next Friday, same place, same time, inshallah. Until then, keep safe and stay warm. Ma'assalam.